In confusion and uncertainty, there emerges a guiding light, a beacon that cuts through the darkness. Welcome to Beacon of Truth with your host, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Beacon of Truth. I am your host, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers, and you're listening on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Great to be here with you today on this Thursday. And today, so excited. I always love when we do this series. It's called Our Life in Christ, right? This is reflections on the mysteries of the Most Holy Rosary. We've been doing this now for a little over a year. And if you recall, this started when I was on pilgrimage a couple years ago. And, you know, on pilgrimage, we pray the rosary every single day on the bus. And there was someone who came up to me after praying the rosary one day, just a very, very honest, said, you know what, Deacon, you know, I'm not a typical rosary prayer, you know, and I struggle with it, you know. I just want to let you know. And I said, okay, awesome. So I, you know, was explaining about the rosary, and I thought, you know, this would be good to do a series of shows exposing people to the rosary, just explaining a little bit about each of the mysteries so people can, because what are we doing when we pray the rosary? We're reflecting on the deepest mysteries of our faith through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ and the Paschal mystery through the heart of his Blessed Mother, right? So that's what we're doing. And so I thought it'd be great, you know, to have a series where we're going through each of the mysteries of the rosary. And it's proven to be pretty popular with folks. And so we've gone through, so I decided to do the reflections on the mysteries of the rosaries, kind of going in the order of the life of Christ, not necessarily in the order that we do them when we pray during the week. So we did the joyful mysteries, then we did the luminous mysteries, then we did the sorrowful mysteries, and now we're doing the glorious mysteries. And today we're focusing on the fourth glorious mystery, the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary, body and soul into heaven. All right, that's going to be our topic for today, reflections on the mystery, our life in Christ, reflections on the mystery of the rosary. Today, the fourth glorious mystery, the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary, body and soul into heaven. And so we want to talk about, you know, what that means. Now, obviously, a little over a month from now, we're going to have the solemnity of the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary, which is, of course, this year, my guess is that in many dioceses, it will not be a holy day of obligation because it's on a Saturday this year. And because of that, I think they're going to suppress it from being a holy day of obligation. Still a solemnity, but I believe that will be the case. You have to check with your diocese to see what they're doing there. But what I want to focus on today is this, talk about a little bit about why Mary is so important in the life of the church. Like, for example, if these mysteries are Deacon, you just said, we're reflecting on the mysteries of the rosary, which is looking at the Paschal mystery, right? The kerygma of the faith, the suffering, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And we're doing that through the heart of the Blessed Mother. So what does the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary, body and soul to heaven, have to do with Jesus? Ooh, it has everything to do with Jesus. And there's significant implications for each one of us. And that's what I want to talk about today. And of course, as always, we would love to hear from you, your thoughts on this fourth mystery, this fourth glorious mystery, the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary, body and soul into heaven. Give us a call, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. So we can talk about the fourth glorious mystery, or if you have questions about the rosary in general or about the Blessed Mother, give us a call as well. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. If you're outside of North America, you can dial 1, then 205-271-2985. You can always email us at beacon@ew10.com, and you can even text your question or your comment to 1-833-288-EWTN. That's 1-833-288-3986. You give us your first name, how you're listening, followed by your brief question. Remember that message and data rates may apply. Christ, our life. Continuing our reflections on the mysteries of the Rosary, today we're looking at the fourth glorious mystery, the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary, body and soul into heaven. Would love to hear from you today. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. All right. Beautiful summer day here in Portland, Oregon. Went for my walk today, and it was glorious. Well, funny, it was glorious. Right? It's about the fourth glorious mystery. But today's Thursday, so was praying the Luminous Mysteries today. And I got to tell you, I am loving the Luminous Mysteries. In fact, it's very interesting. For me, you know, so we're talking about the Rosary today. You know, I've been praying the other mysteries for so long, right? The joyful, the sorrowful, and the glorious mysteries. And then, of course, with John Paul II instituting the Luminous Mysteries during his pontificate, I find myself, you know, because let's be real, right? I'm a human being, you know. Sometimes when I pray the Rosary, my mind starts to wander a little bit, you know, like what I got coming up or what project I'm working on or a homily idea or something like that will come up while I'm praying the Rosary, which for me is okay, a little bit of distraction. Why? Because I'm trying to meditate on the mystery, but at the same time, you know, I got a lot of stuff going on in my life, and sometimes reflecting on those mysteries will bring out an idea or bring out something in my heart and say, oh, I didn't think about it like that before. And that mystery helped me to bring out, you know, or work toward this resolution or bring up a great idea or something like that. But I notice with the Luminous Mysteries that I'm mostly focused solely on the mystery themselves, right? These the Luminous Mysteries are mysteries of light, which are reflected on the theophanies or manifestations of God, right? So I find myself like almost laser focused on reflecting on each of the mysteries and not wandering as much as, you know, not so much with the Luminous as with the other ones. And I think, again, because still it's new, quote unquote new, in the life of the church, right, the Luminous Mystery would still be new in a sense. But I'm just loving reflecting on each one of those Luminous Mysteries. And so it's definitely drawn me closer to relationship and intimacy with Christ and with the Blessed Mother. And I hope that praying the Rosary does the same things for you. And I hope these reflections have been incredibly helpful for you. Again, would love to hear from you today as we continue our series, Our Life in Christ, the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary, Body and Soul into Heaven, the Fourth Glorious Mystery, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. And I'm thrilled, not because it's a beautiful day today, but from the crew that brings you this show each and every day. I'm talking about Michael McCall and Pedro Quiles, who help us out on social media. Matt Gabinski, who will be screening your calls today. And our producer, you know, who brings the sum into summer. Ace McKay. Ace, how you doing, bro?
I'm good. I was going to ask you, as we talk about these mysteries, if there was something from your trip with your daughter, like if there was like that additional spiritual connection, because I know you guys have always been close, but like what did God maybe reveal to you or that maybe discussion between the two of you?
Yeah, so I think the poignant moment came. Well, we had a lot of great conversations in the car,
yeah,
as we drove around the island and all that kind of stuff. But I think the conversation we had outside of the church, Our Lady, Queen of the Universe, where I was baptized, mm-hmm, and became like the first baptized Catholic in our family, just sharing that moment and sharing my feelings with her, what it was like to be back there again, you know, and all of that. I thought that was pretty special. You know, we had a lot of great conversations, but that one in particular, I think, was memorable. You know, and again, today's Thursday. I mean, I know we're talking about the Assumption today, but Thursday is typically the Luminous Mysteries. The first was the baptism at the Jordan, mm-hmm, right? So that was definitely came to mind for me during, yeah, my travels. Yeah,
yeah. I gotta say, that's the thing I love, especially with your kids, as they get to really understand you, knowing your spiritual side, understanding your relationship with God, and where you are, where you've come from. That they then truly understand. Okay, Dad reacted that way because, it's not just what's wrong with dad. You know, it's just, they really have an understanding of where we're coming from.
Yeah, and I think my daughter, with that time together, understands me more. Understands me better now.
Yeah,
you know, and that could definitely appreciate that as well.
Amen.
So, yeah, beautiful. Our Life in Christ, continuing our series of reflections on the mystery of the Rosary, 833-288-EWTN.
I don't even know what you call this.
I was about to say, what is that?
There is not a name for this one.
So this is an interesting patch. Is there for horns or something?
Yeah, I have a hard time believing that this is actual horns.
No, it's not. No, it's some kind of patch or something. Yeah, patch or something like that. It's not. It's definitely not real. I mean, that's one thing you can tell. Like, listen, if you listen, the tone, the attack.
Yeah.
Like you can tell the difference when it, breathing. You know, when you're playing the horn as it's playing on the keyboard, the attack is different.
Yeah.
The tone is different. It almost sounds synthetic when you listen to a horn this way, the way we're listening to it now.
Yep.
You know? Yeah. With synthesizers coming into the picture, it saved a lot of money because now you didn't need horn sections to record songs in the studio, because studio time is very expensive, as well know.
Oh yeah,
you know, and so it saved time, but I think it lost a little something as well.
Sure. Well, if nothing else, after anything gets exhausted musically, or maybe in life in general, but definitely musically, then it comes back full circle. So then we're like, you know what? It's worth the investment because of the organicness that comes when you have live bodies versus, you know, something pre-programmed, or it's just a finger movement versus actual talent, you know.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. Totally agree. And that's what makes you appreciate groups like Earth, Wind & Fire or Chicago.
Sure.
You know, that when they still go on tour, they still bring that horn section with them there, which is
Well, and the thing that's interesting, most documentaries that I love when I'm watching about bands that I like or just curious, you know, based on what they brought to the era, is how much they talk about how they were trying, when they did such and such record or such and such song, they were trying to emulate, and then they were emulating something that was before them, right? And so oftentimes when you talk about Earth, Wind & Fire, Commodores, you know, any of those, Chicago, any of those big horn, you know, most of them will say, yeah, we tried it on, you know, synthesizer because that was the thing at the time, but it didn't have the feel we were going for. Yeah. We were trying to emulate so-and-so. So they know, there's something missing there. And again, nothing against it when you need it, but if you don't need it and you can't afford it, get you two or three horn players.
Yeah, there you go. I like that. I even like a song, Breakout by Swing Out Sister.
Oh, sure.
You know, I mean, that makes a difference, man, to me, in that song.
Yeah.
You know, having those real horns in there. Now, they do have some synth, like for violins, you know, but for the I love that. Well, nothing can replace that.
And I thought it was cool, too. It kind of reminds me, both times I saw Paul McCartney, while he has a band and no horn section, there are certain Beatles songs that he does that has a trumpet or some kind of horn in it. And someone in the band at some point sets their instrument aside, picks that trumpet up or whatever to give that authenticity to the song.
Yeah, love that. I love that. And it also a reminder, a good faith reminder for us, too, that, you know, that we need to be real.
Right?
We can't go through faking something or, you know, putting on a front. You know, we have to be real before God. You know, that beautiful gift of vulnerability that Christ shows us from the cross, that is a way that we can actually grow in faith.
Yeah. Yeah. Whenever I've heard people say, well, I want to pray, but I don't know how. And I go, well, what's on your heart? And then I go, there you go.
That's
God just
prayer.
Heard everything you said, and they're like, "No." It's like you can be that transparent. It's okay.
Yeah, that's so true. I'm Deacon Harold Burke. Service listening to Beacon of Truth, and today we're continuing our series of reflections on the mysteries of the Most Holy Rosary called "Our Life in Christ." Today we're looking at the fourth glorious mystery, the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary, body and soul into heaven. Would love to hear your thoughts about this mystery, the Assumption, or the Rosary, or questions about the Blessed Virgin Mary herself. Would love to hear from you. Give us a call today on Beacon of Truth, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986.
Well, as you start to understand the Mass better, or maybe this is your first time into a Mass of any kind, whether you join us on the radio or on TV, and of course, even in person, you can find out more about that with the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass with Our Lady of the Angels Chapel live, 8 Eastern, right here on EWTN. And of course, check out the free Mass Guide booklet that's available so you can understand what's said, when it's said, all the things, and apply it to your faith and interaction at missions.ewtn.com/massguide. Write this down, missions.ewtn.com/massguide, and take it with you today for free.
All right, Our Life in Christ, continuing our series of reflections on the mysteries of the Rosary. Today, we're focused on the fourth glorious mystery, the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary, body and soul into heaven. Of course, would love to hear from you today. Give us a call on Beacon of Truth, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Ryan is a first-time caller, calling from Houston, Texas, listening on Sirius XM 130. Ryan, welcome to Beacon of Truth.
Hi, Deacon. Thanks so much for having me. Wanted to just mention that I've been fortunate enough to pray the Rosary daily for almost probably a couple of years up to this point. And the effect it's had on my life has really been undeniable. And I believe Our Lady said that we would sin less through the Rosary, although my wife is quick to remind me of my continued faults and failures weekly and monthly. But I was curious to hear maybe the effects that the Rosary's had on your life. Thank you so much.
Yeah, right. That's amazing how wives remind us of our weakness. I remember once, Ryan, just real quickly before I answer your question. One of my jobs was when the kids were younger, was cleaning the bathrooms. And when I was in the bathroom and my computer was on, I was listening to EWTN. And unbeknownst to me, as I was listening, one of my series came on. Because I have 9 television series on the network, and one of them was playing, and I just, that sounds like me. So my wife walks in, and she goes, "Hey, look, hon, you're on TV." I said, "Yeah." She goes, "Get back to cleaning the toilet." I just started laughing. I just thought that was hilarious. But yeah, Ryan, so for the Rosary, Ryan, I think a couple of things. First of all, it reminds me of my relationship with the Blessed Mother. And I didn't realize this until my mom, God rest her soul, pointed this out to me that, as I mentioned this before, but when I was, my mom had 5 miscarriages before having me. And so when she was pregnant with me, they put her on complete bed rest in the hospital. And my mom made almost like I put in quotes, air quotes, Nazarite kind of vow to God. "Look, God, if you let this one live, you can have him," was her prayer. And she mentioned to me that the hospital that she was in was near a church. And when the Angelus bells would ring, that I would move around in the womb. So she took that as a sign, that maybe God wanted to do something with me. And so I became the first baptized Catholic in our family. My mom was a convert, so she did not have to be rebaptized, just confirmation of First Communion. And I was baptized at Our Lady, Queen of the Universe Catholic Church in Barbados, which I visited with my daughter just recently. I grew up in Christ the King in Hillside, New Jersey. That's Jesus, of course, is the Son of Mary. I went to Notre Dame, right? Our mother. The monastery I was in, the church is in St. Mary's. I was ordained a deacon in Immaculate Conception Cathedral in Portland. And I've been serving for the last 23 years at Immaculate Heart of Mary in Portland. So, I mean, I'm looking at my whole life. Mary has been a part of my life for as long as I can remember, even before I was born, so when I pray the Rosary now, especially, Ryan, since the death of my mother, you know, for some reason, the rosary has become more attractive to me since my mom died, back in 2009. You know, the rosary, I think you're right. So when I pray the rosary, I'm much more aware that I'm in the presence of God. I start my day off with the office, and then when I go for my walk, I do the rosary first thing. And that sets the tone for my day. You know, that's puts me in the right mindset. It definitely, I think, is inoculation against sin. It doesn't mean that you don't sin, but it definitely cuts down on the temptation piece of it, for sure. I feel much more, as I'm ready to think more clearly, like when I'm doing homily prep, I think praying the rosary, I've come up with better homilies, more inspired because of, I think, praying the rosary. Definitely, it makes me more aware of my vocation, both as a husband and a father, but also as a deacon as well. So it just puts me, praying the rosary puts me in a right mind space and a right heart space. And it's done that for years now. So I think that's what I would say, Ryan. Ryan, you still there? Okay. Oh, okay. Yeah,
thank
you are
so
still
much.
There. Yeah. Dang, I'm awesome. So glad you called. Thanks for calling.
Oh, yeah. You visited our church, St. Cecilia, in Houston maybe a few years ago. So thanks for everything you do.
Oh, you're most welcome. And thank you again for calling, Ryan. Call back anytime. Our Life in Christ, Reflections on the Mysteries of the Rosary. Today we're focusing on the fourth glorious mystery, the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary, body and soul into heaven. If you have any questions or you will share your reflections, as Ryan just did, on this particular mystery of the Rosary, the Assumption, or you have questions about the Rosary or the Blessed Mother, would love to hear from you today. 833-288. EW10, that's 833-288-3986. Now, if you can't call in, you can always text us your question or your comment about the rosary. 831-833-288-EW10, that's 1-833-288-3986. Now, I just want to lay a little bit of a groundwork for why Mary is so important for us as Catholics, particularly when it comes to this, the assumption here, the Assumption of Blessed Virgin Mary, body and soul into heaven. It goes all the way back to Genesis 3:15, right? So where God is giving out the temporal punishment for Satan, the snake, the Nahash, literally Hebrew monster, the Nahash. I'll put enmity, and actually the word is ebau in Hebrew, which means hatred, but enmity means opposition to. So I think, you know, the English translators thought that hatred was too strong, so they put enmity in there between you and the woman. So between Satan and this woman. Now, initially you would think, well, of course, they're talking about Eve. Why? Because she's the only woman. No, it's foreshadowing the Blessed Virgin Mary. And one of the keys in the verse here that points to Mary, I think it says between your seed and her seed. It's a zeta in Hebrew, which is the feminine word for seed. So it's definitely her seed. So there's only one woman that did not receive the seed of a man that gave her child a complete human nature, and that is the Blessed Virgin Mary. Our Life in Christ, the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary, the fourth glorious mystery. Would love to hear from you today. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986.
Everybody's picturing Will Ferrell right now.
Yeah.
I need more cowbell.
Oh, all right. I like a little Doors kind of feel there on the synth, but that path sounds just like a Doors kind of thing.
Yeah.
All right. You know, this summer is, of course, wedding season. You know, my wife and I got married during the summer, and, you know, daughter just got married as well, and we were talking before about their honeymooning at Disney, And I remember, and you said that they were being gifted the flight and the hotel, which is awesome. That is awesome.
Yeah.
I know for my wife and I, we paid for our own wedding because neither of our fathers were in the picture. Her father was deceased, and of course, you know the story with my dad.
Yeah.
And so both our mothers couldn't afford, you know, and plus we didn't want some big, you know, so we paid for it ourselves.
Nice.
And including the honeymoon, but we got a nice. We got some nice rates because of one of my wife's friends. Her mom was a travel agent, so they got us the flights and hotel, and we did 2 hours. We did Kauai first because there's not much to do on Kauai, and after the whole stress of the wedding, all the planning, just to go and just relax and do nothing was great. And then we went to the Big Island because we wanted to see the volcanoes. So.
That's awesome. Yeah, Lennon and Thomas, I was very proud of them because they got the venue, the flowers, the photography, and the food all donated. They all had a friend, some connection.
Nice.
So they spent, you know, just a few thousand dollars for what things they still had to buy. And they said, we worked together as a team. Even when it was frustrating, we were like, okay, how can we maximize what we need, but not spend too much and then have a bunch of stuff left over? And I was like, that's good practice. Like, you get into that habit and, you know, all the money talk now, it'll serve you well later. And I had to laugh because as soon as they got married, Thomas went back to work. And they didn't really see much of each other. Like, life settled into the busy lifestyle. And then they had, like, a big movie fest and went and saw, like, 3 movies in a row last weekend. And they're like, I haven't seen my husband all week. And it's like, that's where life starts, right there.
Yeah, yeah, that's it. And getting used to living together, too. It's like, all the little foibles and all the little things you learn about each other and things that you love and things you can't stand.
Yeah, and there's cats involved now, too. So,
So did you both of them have pets on their own, and now the pets are together? Oh boy!
Yep. So the kitties now get to play with each other, and they have an automatic feeder, and then an automatic pooper scooper. So that way, if they have to work late hours, that the cats don't go neglected. I was like, children were so easy to appease by.
Yeah, yeah.
So enjoy it while you can.
Yeah, not quite. Yeah, not quite. Yep. That's awesome. I'm Deacon Harold Burke, series listening to Beacon of Truth. And today we're continuing our series of reflections on the Most Holy Rosary. And today we're looking at the fourth glorious mystery, the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary, body and soul into heaven. Of course, would love to hear from you, your thoughts about this particular glorious mystery, the Assumption. Or if you have a question about the Rosary or the Blessed Mother, would love to hear from you today. Give us a call. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986.
Speaking of wife and mother, Women Made New with Kristalina Evert. Of course, this weekend you can catch her Saturday afternoon, noon Eastern on EWTN Radio. But she also has a book available in the religious catalog you can check out for all your summer reading. It's called Women Made New, Reflections of Adversity, Transformation, and Healing. Great stuff for you to check out as you also check her out this weekend and get the insights for your marriage and family only on EWTN, and go to EWTNRC.com and shop today.
All right. Our life in Christ, our continuing reflections on the Most Holy Rosary. Today, we're focusing on the fourth glorious mystery, the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary, body and soul into heaven. We'd love to hear your thoughts. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Remember, you can also text us as well. 1-833-288-EWTN. That's 1-833-288-3986. Just tell us your first name, how you're listening, followed by your brief question. Remember that message and data rates may apply. And speaking of texting, we just received a text message from an anonymous listener. Says that Mary led me to the Catholic Church. They were baptized Catholic as a baby, which they never knew. Grew up evangelical. After the experience I had with Mary, and don't think they elaborate as to what that experience was, I began inquiring about the Catholic faith. That's when my mom told me I was baptized Catholic. Mary brought me home. Hopefully, I'll be confirmed next Easter. I'm forever, forever grateful to her. See, and that's the thing. You know, one of the things that I mentioned in my talk on evangelization, that part of the talk where I talk about kids, adult kids who are away from the church, because that is the single biggest question I receive anywhere in the world. What do I do about my kids who are away from the church? I give very specific things you can do, but one of those things is consecration to Mary. Now, what I mean by that is, of course, we all are familiar with Marian consecration, where you can consecrate yourself to Jesus through Mary, right? So, I mean, that's the if you're not Catholic, you know, that's the nomenclature that we use when we say, you know, consecration to Mary. We are consecrating ourselves to Jesus through Mary. Right. So through Mary, to always pointing to Jesus, right? Reflecting Mary's last words that we hear her speak in Scripture, do whatever he tells you. So everything she does points to Jesus. But what I'm talking about, though, is you can consecrate your children to Mary. So in other words, you can do, for example, the 33-day De Montfort consecration for your children. Right? And I always say, don't cheat. Don't do one consecration for each of the children, do the 33-day consecration for each of the children. Now, if you have a bunch of kids, you can be praying for half a year. You know what? But hold on. Half a year consecrating your children to Mary versus spending eternity with them forever in heaven? That's a good trade-off to me. You know, and so I think that's time well spent. That's time well invested in spiritual life for your children. Because, and the other thing is, once Mary gets involved, game over. Because Mary wants to bring all her spiritual children to Jesus. And so when parents, and look at that fourth commandment, right? I talk about this all the time with the fourth commandment. Honor your father and your mother. It's the only commandment that comes with a promise, so you may have life forever in the land that I'm giving you. So there's a beautiful relationship there with parents and their children. And when Mary gets involved, your children ain't got a chance, you know. So Mary's going to help bring them to Jesus, like she did for our anonymous texter here. But would love to hear from you today as we continue our series of reflections on the Rosary called Our Life in Christ, the fourth glorious mystery, the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary, body and soul into heaven, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Bill is calling from Florida, listening on Divine Mercy. Bill, welcome to Beacon of Truth.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. I have a question about format and style.
Mm-hmm.
Years ago, when I was a child, I disliked the rosary completely. I couldn't stand it because back then, they said wanted all the priests to sound the same. They wanted the voice to be the same. And they go, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. And it was, I didn't see the point. Now, I do lead the rosary at before Mass now. I love it. It's transformational for me. But everybody who leads the rosary does it different.
Yeah.
They have little prayers at the end that are different.
Yeah.
Sometimes they do half the Hail Mary and let the congregation do the other half of the Hail Mary.
Yeah.
Is there a proper format?
Oh, Bill, that is a great question. You know, this has been on my heart too, Bill, because when I travel, and I travel quite extensively all over the world, but when I travel and I go into parish and they're praying, I usually like to pray the rosary with the people before Mass if I have time, especially if I'm deacon and preaching at Mass. And you're right. Everybody does it differently. Now, let me say this. The way that I pray the rosary every day is the exact same way that Mother Angelica prays the rosary. Because when I got back into the rosary again, when my mom came to live with us, you know, she used to watch the rosary all the time on EW10 led by Mother Angelica. And it's just the rosary. No other. But you're right. You go to some parishes and, you know, like the first three Hail Marys and lead into the rosary, you know, praying for the virtue of faith, hope and love. That's not in the rosary. At the end, adding all these prayers, St. Michael prayer, and that doesn't belong in the rosary. That's not part of the rosary. You know, pray the rosary. And if you want to do extra prayers, do it when you're done. You know, that's me. I mean, I don't know if that's purist or whatever you want to call it, but I just love praying the Rosary. Mother Angelica pray. Just pray the Rosary, all those extra stuff. And again, what does that do? If you're not used to that, then you can't follow along, right? That takes away from your prayer because you can't participate because you don't know what they're going to say next or what prayer they're adding in. And, you know, so I'm not necessarily a fan of all those extra prayers as well. As far as cadence, that depends. If you ever hear Father Donald Calloway talk about his conversion story, he talks about how the Filipino ladies, you know, he heard them praying, Hail Mary for the grace, Elizabeth, Jesus, Holy Mary, da, da, da. And it's like a speed thing, you know. But when I pray the Rosary, when I go for my walk every day, I'm very thoughtful. I'm focusing on the words that are coming out of my mouth. You know, I want to make sure I'm honoring God. I'm praying from my heart, not just rote things in my mind. Although, as I'm praying the beads and my fingers are going through the beads, you know, and I'm focusing on I'm not so much focusing on saying the Hail Mary, but I'm focusing on the mystery. Or, as I mentioned before, Bill, my mind starts to wander. I start thinking about a homily or some idea for a book or something that will come up as I'm praying the Rosary. But, you know, if you're going to pray it in public, I think it's a difference between private recitation of the Rosary and public. If you're going to do it in public, you should do it in a way that maximizes everyone's participation. You also mentioned, Bill, as I've seen this at parishes too, where the person will lead half the Rosary to congregation. I think part of that is so it doesn't become boring. And then I'll see the other one decade where the person will lead and, you know, the Hail Mary full of grace, and then this congregation bless her that, and then they'll flip it the next set of mysteries. So the people will start the Hail Mary and then the person leading it will finish it. So again, I think those are things that are done to break, so it doesn't become, it doesn't feel monotonous. It's just a different way of keeping people engaged in the Rosary and things like that. I've also been at parishes where they have scriptural rosaries, where they read a verse from scripture. And that idea is to get you into the right, you know, mindset before you start praying the Rosary. So they give you a scripture that is connected with that particular mystery that you're praying. So, but I think, again, to answer your question, Bill, if you're praying in public, just, I believe you just stick to the Rosary. You not too fast, not too slow, in a way that everybody can participate. Even if they're not familiar with the Rosary, they can participate in the Rosary. That makes sense, Bill?
It does to me. And then one thing that I found online is that there's something to meditate on for each bead on each Hail Mary within each decade, and I didn't know that. I found that online. One of the diocesan websites. I forget which one. I think it was Chicago, but it's more beautiful. Now I do it at home like that with Darlene, and we, you know, it would take too long before Mass to read each one. But
yes,
as you're saying the Hail Mary, now you're thinking on a different thing each bead. It's wonderful.
Yeah, you know, that was something that. Because I got that in, I actually have that in my favorites on my phone. That was something that was, that John Paul II actually, recommended when he wrote his document, instituting the Luminous Mysteries of the Rosary. He talked about that. I've got that right here. Okay. Yeah. So the Joyful Mysteries, for example, Hail Mary, full of grace, blessed are thy womb, Jesus, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now at the hour of our death. Amen. So for that first mystery, when you pray the Hail Mary, you get to Jesus, thy womb, Jesus. Then you say, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit for the first joyful mystery. Right? Then Holy Mary, Mother of God. Then for the second joyful mystery, the visitation, you know, you pray the Hail Mary, thy womb, Jesus, who sanctified John the Baptist. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray. So that was something I never heard before I read it from John Paul II. And so I found those sets of prayers, and I took a picture of one on my phone. And I don't do it every day, but as you mentioned, Bill, I'll do it sometimes in private. If I'm not able to go for a walk or on the plane, I'll incorporate this style of praying, the Rosary.
Cool. Keep it up.
Yeah, you too, my friend. Great to hear from you, Bill. Thank you so much for your call today. And we'd love to hear from you as we continue our series of reflections on the mysteries of the Most Holy Rosary. Today, we're talking about the fourth glorious mystery, the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary, body and soul into heaven, as part of our continuing series called Our Life in Christ. Would love to hear from you today, your reflections on this particular mystery of the Rosary, the Assumption, or you have questions about the Rosary itself, or if you want to talk about the Blessed Virgin Mary. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. So if we go back, and I think the Assumption is tied in with the Annunciation. You know, so the message of Gabriel, the angel, the Virgin Mary received the word of God into her heart and into her body, right, and gave Christ to the world. Think about this for a second. Before Jesus of Nazareth existed, he was the Word of God, right? He was the second person of the Trinity. And Mary gave flesh to that Word. So she was united to God in a way that's, first of all, only in a way that a woman could, right? She gave, literally gave a form and shape and a body to God. To the word of God. That's incredible. When the angel came there, it said, "Hail, full of grace, Kyrie Kachari Tomine," past perfect participle, the Greek word kairitu, which means to endow with grace. So literally, you who have always been grace, you who have never been without grace. It's important to see that because it points us to the Assumption. Mary was conceived without the stain of original sin. Now, why? She didn't have to be conceived that way. It was fitting. It wasn't necessary, but it was fitting. Why? If you look at how the Ark of the Covenant was constructed in the book of Exodus, and actually even Second Chronicles, when you see David, who was storing up all of the materials for his son Solomon to actually build the temple. Because remember, David could not build the temple himself because he had shed too much blood. God revealed that he wanted to do it, but God said, no, you've shed too much blood. You've had too much warfare. Your son will build a temple. So David stored up all the materials for Solomon to build the temple. And so the temple, if you look at the description, it was careful and methodic, and it had to be this many, there had to be this many cubits and this many spans, and it had to have this kind of gold, and it was very detailed. Why? Because it contained something incredibly precious, right? It contained, and the Ark of the Covenant only contained three things: the staff of Aaron, the Ten Commandments, the Aseret Hadibrot, and the manna from heaven. And Mary is the new Ark of the Covenant, right? She's the new Ark. Why? We saw, and I mentioned this the other day, when it said God made, took the rib from Adam's side and made it into a woman. It's Wa'iben, in Hebrew, Wa'iben, which is the same word they use for the construction of the temple, because Ana is a different word for build. If they're building a table or building a house or building, that's not the word they use for building the woman. They use Wa'iben, which is the same word that's used for constructing the temple, right? So now we see there's this beautiful connections between the way God constructed Wa'iben, built Mary to be the ark, to receive within her body the staff, the shepherd, right? The staff of Aaron represents the fact that he was a shepherd. Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd." The word of God that became alive in her womb, and then, of course, the manna from heaven. "I'm the living bread that came down from heaven." But all those were in the womb of the Blessed Virgin Mary. So she's acknowledged as honored, as truly being the mother of God and the mother of our Redeemer. She is the favorite daughter of the Father and a temple of the Holy Spirit. Like, literally, the temple of the Holy Spirit. Now, Paul alludes to that for all of us through baptism and through the sacraments. 1 Corinthians 6:19, he says, "Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit that you have within you from God?" But Mary is a physical temple of God herself. So beautiful. So it's because of that reality that the Assumption makes sense. Now, all of us, if we make it to heaven at the end of time when Christ comes to give the kingdom back to his Father, to reconcile everything to the Father in the end of time, we will get our bodies back. Mary just received that at the moment of her death and assumption into heaven. She was able to body, but we'll all get our bodies. So Mary doesn't have anything that we're not going to get, God willing, at the end of eternity when Jesus comes back to reclaim the kingdom for his Father in heaven. 833-288-3986. We're continuing our series of reflections on the Most Holy Rosary. Today, the fourth glorious mystery, the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary, body and soul into heaven. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Andy is calling from New Orleans, Louisiana. NOLA. Listening on Catholic Community Media. Andy, welcome to Beacon of Truth.
How you doing, Deacon Harold?
I'm doing well. Before. Great to hear from you today.
Yeah, brother. Talking about the rosary, I am seriously dedicated to the rosary. I'm a convert. The Blessed Virgin Mary, similar to something you said earlier, I was baptized Catholic when I was a baby. I really didn't know about it, but and then when I was 10 years old, my parents brought me to Paris, and I went through Notre Dame. I kind of think the Blessed Mother was working on me the whole time. So when I became a Catholic, you know, I didn't start doing the rosary right off. But now, you know, I'm 64. I've been a Catholic for over half my life now. And I lead the rosary before Mass each Sunday. And, you know, you've talked about losing focus on the mysteries. When you are doing the decades themselves, you know, you'll lose focus of the mystery. Well, I've told the people, and I said, look, let's start thinking about fruits. I'm going to announce the fruit of each mystery. And the fruit, when we're doing the decades, if you think your mind's wandering, think about the fruit. And the fruit just draws you straight to the mystery itself. And it works. It's incredible. Everybody loves the way that we're doing the rosary now. And we keep it simple. I don't go slow. I don't go fast, but, you know, it's pretty simple.
Yeah, I love that approach, focusing on the fruits of the mystery. So what do you announce what those fruits are before you begin the decade or before you start the rosary so that people are aware what they are?
Correct. After I announce the mystery, you know, like say for the glorious mysteries, you know, you start out with the resurrection of our Savior. The fruit of that mystery is faith. You know, our faith in the resurrected Jesus. And then you go to his ascension, and that is our desire for heaven. The descent of the Holy Spirit, it's wisdom and love of God. When, you know, I announce the Blessed Mother's Assumption, I start out with, there is no tomb, there is no grave, there are no relics. The Blessed Mother, she was holy, and God said his holy ones will not suffer corruption. She did not die. She was assumed into heaven, body and soul.
Yep. Wow, love
that. The fruit of that mystery is our dedication, our veneration of the Blessed Virgin Mary. And then her crowning in heaven, you know, that she's our mother. She's everybody's mother. And her crowning, the fruit of that mystery, is eternal happiness.
There you go. That's a beautiful way to approach it, Andy. Wow, thank you so much for sharing that. That was awesome. Absolutely love that. See, this time when you're part of the Beacon of Truth family and these reflections on the rosary really brings out some great causes, some great ideas for staying focused on the mysteries. I absolutely love that. All right, let's go to Alana calling from Bismarck, North Dakota, listening on Real Presence Radio. Welcome to Beacon of Truth.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
Sure, great to hear from you.
So I am calling because I have heard a lot of conflicting arguments about the Assumption of Mary when it comes to what happened to her beforehand. I've heard some people say that she did die and some people say that she didn't, and then what the Orthodox say about the Dormition. And I've always been in the camp that she didn't die because of the fact that she never sinned. So I was kind of wondering if there is like any specific teaching on what happened to her before the Assumption.
Yeah, and you're right. In the East and the West, they call it the Great Dormition or the Great Sleep. which teredema in Hebrew means a deep sleep without consciousness or dreams, which is the word they typically sometimes use for that transition from death to life. But you're right. Mary did not have sin. Now, Jesus, who's God, died, you know, because he took all our sins upon us. So I think what we teach is that Mary transitioned from this life into the life forever in heaven. You can call it death. You just call it transition. But it's all the beautiful truth of our faith. All right. Saint Benedict on Silence and Humility tomorrow. Until then, may Almighty God bless you, keep you, and protect you. The Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.